Like to invite you this evening to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, book of Psalms, Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, asking you for your blessing on your word, that we might hear from you. Open up our hearts and minds, that you might speak to us and guide us into your paths and to your ways, that you might receive the honor and the glory, and then, Lord, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. Again, bless your word and your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is simply, "Blessed is the man." Blessed is the man. God wants to make his people blessed or happy. That's another way to interpret that word. Happy, happy. And so we thank the Lord that it is his mission to make us happy. And so there's a negative side and there's a positive side. On the negative, he tells us there are some things that we need to be mindful of. And he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Those who would lead us to do things that would be against the Lord or ungodly. Then he says this, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Don't stand in the way or don't walk in their ways and follow after their ways. Just because they do it doesn't mean that we should do it as well. Just because they get away with it, if it's dishonest, if it's something that's not upright and glorifying the Lord, we don't want to be in their way or the path that they are traveling on. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Those are the ones that are always griping and complaining and scorning and railing against the things that are right. And that's not hard to find in this day and age. You can find a lot of people that will champion things that mock the Lord, things that are against God. And God says, we don't want to be in those ways. And by the way, I'm sure if we have a heart for the Lord, we don't want to be there. We don't want to walk in those ways. The world doesn't understand that, but God's people should. So verse 2 says this, "But his delight," these are the positive ones, "what he delights in is what? The law of the Lord." Why? Because that shows us the way to walk. That shows us the light of God. We ought to delight in the way of blessing, in the way of peace, in the way of happiness, and in the way of the joy of the Lord. So he says, "Blessed," or "but his delight is in the light, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So the word of God never gets old to the believer. Do you know, as you look to the word of God, there's so many truths that are packed in one verse. In one verse. So many different ways to look at it. And God brings us to those thoughts. God brings us to those understandings as we seek him. "Lord, show me what you want me to see." And boy, lo and behold, there's a new understanding of God's truth and God's word. So he says this, "If this is done," if on the negative side, we stay out of the way of the counsel of the ungodly, and if we look to the things of God to strengthen our faith, this is what the results are in verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." That's good, isn't it? That's a place of nourishment. That's a place, that's the green pastures that the Lord guides his sheep in so that they can feed. You know, one thing we can surely say as the people of the Lord, we are never without the proper nourishment from the Word of God. All we have to do is open it up and the Lord will give us what we need. And so that's like a tree that's planted by the river, has all the water it needs, right? All the nutrients and everything. And then notice what he says. Let's read verse 3 again. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Bible says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They just kind of blow away. There's no stability, no root in them. And by the way, they just become more and more debased, don't they? More and more drifting away further and further away from the Lord. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." They're not anchored, but may our hearts and our minds be anchored in the word of God. Verse 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Well, what is the way of the righteous if it's not the word of God? That's why the Lord knows. You know,
You can always count on the Lord to be there for you, can you not? And may God always be able to count on us, his people, to look to his word to find the Lord if we're seeking him. I just want to stop, and I mentioned this to the fellows yesterday, but the fruit here in verse 3. But it says here, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So there's a season, and there's a way that the Lord works, and he's the one that produces the fruit. I was telling them, and I think I mentioned here, you can do everything right for a garden. You can have the right kind of soil. You can have the right kind of weather. You can have even if you want to use the man-made fertilizers or even organic fertilizers, and still no fruit. Have you ever had that before? You could do everything. You can study up on it, make sure, oh, I'm going to do this the right way. And unless the Lord brings forth the fruit, there's no fruit. And so we are dependent upon the Lord to bear his fruit. Let me just show you something very quickly. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 15 just for a moment here. And I want you to see something here, an important truth. And this just stood out to me. In fact, just this last week, I was reading this. Notice what Jesus said in verse 1, John 15, verse 1. He says, I am, this is Jesus, I'm the true vine. Now, when he says he's the genuine article is what he's saying, is he not? I am the true vine. There is no other. So when we look, let's just consider a grape vineyard, for example, a grape vineyard. That's a real vine, but it's not the true vine, right? And so we can learn from that vine a little bit about what our God is like. That's what he's saying. But then he says, I want you to know those are just pictures. I want you to know I am the vine. I am the true vine. I am the one and only. And so he says, I want you to understand this illustration because it really reveals to us what we have in our God. Look at verse 1 again. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So you know what they're about? They're about bearing fruit. That's what his business is about. If somebody is a farmer, what is their concern? They're just not wanting to grow stuff just for the sake of growing. They're looking for fruit, aren't they? That is the benefit. Guess what? Listen, God is the picture of the true farmer, the true husbandman. And he wants to bear fruit through us. He doesn't want us to bear fruit. He wants to bear fruit through us. And in order for that to take place, we have to understand that, oh, it's you doing it through us. I'm going to yield to you and allow you to do that. Well, how does that happen? He says, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, how does that happen? How is it that every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he says he takes it away? We call that pruning. I remember years ago, back in the early 2000s, we were pastoring out in Kentucky, and there was an apple farmer that had owned this farm for 175 years. It was five generations, and they also grew peach trees there. And you know what she said? She said, "You want to know what the secret is to a peach tree? If it's not bearing fruit," she said, and she was 80 years old at that time. She said, "Cut it down to that right there. You got to take all that." Rubbish, it's not growing anything, and let it get started and let it grow again. And I was like, wow, I would have thought you'd kill something like that, right? But no, listen, God says, I want to make sure that I cut away the growth or the things in our lives that are not productive. And so he wants us to be productive, and he wants to work and do the pruning in our lives. Now notice this, he says, verse 3, how does this work? How does this cleaning work? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is how the Lord does the cleaning process. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. That is the secret to the Lord's success. And then he says again, I am the what? I am the vine. And what are we? We are the branches. He that abideth in me, that's all that's required, God will bear fruit in and through our lives. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. And then he says, of course, for without me, you can do nothing. That is the key right there tonight. that God would have us to take away tonight to understanding where victory, where success, and where the Lord's will can be fulfilled is to abide in Him. Now, here's the question that we need to ask the Lord. Lord, help me to understand how to abide in You. That means by doing that, we stop trying to produce the fruit, stop trying to do the right things and say, Lord, I can't do the right things. I need You to do the right things. I need You to be my life. I need You to be my sustenance. Everything. I need You to fulfill Your will in my life because I can't do it. So how does this happen? Well, in the book of Romans, we won't go there. Paul explains that in chapter 7. He says, I want to do some things, you remember? But I don't do them. I can't do them. So when you got saved, when we got saved, we got a new want to. But there was a problem. I can't do it. That's the problem. I want to do it, but I can't do it. So how is this going to happen? Well, he didn't quit. He said, Lord, this is frustrating me. And then he came down to this conclusion. Who is going to deliver me from this sin? And then he says, I thank the Lord, doesn't he? I thank the Lord. He's pointing us to the way of victory in our lives, the way of deliverance, that we would abide in the Lord and look to Him alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We come before Your throne thanking You, Lord, for Your great grace and Your way, Lord, Your mercy that has provided everything that we need. And it's all found by abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, for salvation. And then, Lord, once You've given us that new heart to glorify You and to want to be faithful to You, we still need You, Lord, to bear fruit in and through us. And all we need to do is simply abide in You. But again, Lord, bless Your word. Give us more understanding of these truths that we might walk in Your ways and that You might be glorified and that we might truly be blessed in this life. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.